Pastor Tom, and I want to thank you again for joining me this week. We are going to continue with the Unshaken series. And last week we asked the question, is it possible to build a life that is unshaken, no matter whether we're going through good seasons or bad seasons? Can we build a life that's unshakable? And the answer is yes, but there are some things that we need to know. Last week we talked about the importance of trust and how we need to trust in God. And this week we're going to continue by talking about the fact that faith has a flow. That sometimes in our life we always expect everything to be about the miracles and signs and the good blessing and all of that kind of stuff. But Jesus said just as much as there will be blessing, he said there will be times of tribulation and turmoil. So if we understand that our faith walk has a flow, we will begin to understand how we can build that unshakable life, because we'll know how to approach whatever season it is that we're going through in our life. And we're going to talk about how we do that today. So if that sounds good and you want to know how, again, how to live an unshakable life, today's message is going to be for you. So let's talk about it. Thank you for being here. Welcome to The Refuge. In the course of renovating our building, there was a lot of work that we had to do that was way up high. In a good portion of our building, the ceilings are anywhere from 18 to 19 feet tall. And so we were doing seismic retrofits on beams and painting and cleaning and you know, hanging projectors and doing all sorts of stuff. And in the beginning, we had a friend that loaned us some scaffolding, and so we had this scaffolding, and it was a couple layers high, and even at one point, or maybe a couple, it was three layers high of scaffolding. We would climb up on that scaffolding, and I should tell you this, climbing up on that scaffolding for me is kind of a big deal, because I've got a pretty healthy fear of heights. And so I would begin to climb up on that scaffolding. And if you've ever been on scaffolding, you know it's not the most stable thing in the world. And so it would move back and forth, and it would creak and moan and make all sorts of noise. And because of my anxiety of heights, I would get up there and I begin moving around, especially if there was somebody else up there moving around with me. And there were times when I'd just say, man, I have to stop and climb down, because right now it's just too much for me, because I don't know if I can trust this thing that has gotten me up to this height to hold on to me and to keep me safe up here. And so a little bit later, though, another friend from another congregation said, well, we have an electric lift, and we'll be happy to let you borrow that, and that would probably help you out. And so we got this electric lift. We brought it into the church. I remember the first couple times I got up on that lift, because it would just shoot you right up to the height you needed to go. And I would get up there, and I was still carrying that anxiety with me that I had when I was climbing up the scaffolding. And so I was expecting that it was going to like flip and flop around, and you know, I'd have to hold on to make sure that I'm not going to fall off of this thing. But as I was up on it a few times and spent some time up there, I realized that the lift was much more stable than the scaffolding that I was on. And it had higher, you know, it had rails around it that would kind of, you know, handrails that would protect you. And there was a clip there that clipped me into it that would protect you if you fell. And the more that I was up on that lift, I found out that I could trust it. And I began to settle in to being up on that lift. And I began to think a lot less about the lift and a lot more about what was going on in front of me. I began to worry less about whether what had lifted me up was going to be able to keep me, and was able to focus on the work that was in front of me. And the reason I tell you that story today is because I believe that there's kind of a parallel thing that happens oftentimes in our faith walk with Christ. And that is that a lot of times we're trying to deal with the shaking in our life, you know, when the things are shaking and we're not sure if what we have built our foundation on is going to be able to keep us safe. And then somebody will come along and say, well, you just need to trust God. You need to trust Christ that he will take care of you. And when we do that, we carry that anxiety over, and we begin to say, I don't know if I can trust Christ. I don't know, because everything else in my life always seems to be shaking. I don't know if I can truly trust Christ and settle into Christ. But the more that you walk with Christ, you will discover that he is much more stable than anything else in this life. You'll begin to understand that the one that is raising you up to new heights in your life is going to be able to keep you and protect you. And when you begin to discover that, you can settle into your faith, and you can begin to focus not so much on the shaking in your life, but you can focus on the purpose of God manifesting through your life, knowing that the one that has lifted you up is certainly able to keep you. And so that's what I want to talk about today is being able to live this life in such a way that we can settle in to our faith and know that no matter if we're going through hard times or good times or struggles or victories, that we can settle into our faith in complete trust of who Jesus is, knowing that he is always going to be there and take care of us. And we began talking about that last week. We're going to continue that today. That brings me to my bottom line for this entire series. If you have not watched last week's message, I want to encourage you to go back and watch that, because I believe that it will be very important to you. The bottom line for this entire series, though, has been this, and is going to be this. A life surrendered is a life unshaken. A life surrendered is a life unshaken. To the degree that we can surrender our life to Christ, we will begin to experience an unshakable lifestyle. And so the question becomes, how do we go about truly surrendering our life so that we can have that kind of life? And that's what we're talking about in this series. Today, I want to continue that. We've been looking at Psalm 37, verses 3 to 9, and I'm not going to read all of that to you again today. I just really want to key in on verse 3. We began talking about verse 3 last week, and we're going to finish that up today. And it says this, Psalm 37, verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So last week we began talking about trust. We said this, if God is who he says he is, and he loves us like he says he loves us, then we can truly trust him fully with our life. And so that's that place of trust. If we trust God, then we will be able to live an unshakable life, because we'll know that he is always there with us. Today I really want to key in on the second part of that verse, though, where it says this, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And I want to share with you just two quick things about that today. And the first one is this. The first thing I want to share about dwelling in the land is that there is a flow to our faith. Point number one, there is a flow to our faith, and we need to settle down or settle in to our faith. When you look at that word dwell, where it says dwell in the land, that word dwell in the original language that the scripture was written in, that word dwell is the word shakan. And that word means to settle down, to abide, or to dwell. To settle down, to abide. And I want you to remember that word abide for a little bit later. But really right now I want to key in on that phrase, to settle down. Sometimes in our life of faith, we just need to settle down and understand that there is a flow to our faith. You know, my family we love the outdoors. We love camping, swimming. We love being outdoors. And so we try, especially during the summer, we try to camp a lot. In fact, as I'm recording this, we just got back yesterday from a family camp trip that we took. And so I love to camp, but there's a certain type of camping that I don't enjoy. And that camping is if you're just going to go out like for one day or even sometimes 2 days. Because if you go out for one day or 2 days, you don't truly get a chance to really settle into your camp trip. But by the time you get there and you kind of get things, you know, set up and taken care of, it's already time to pull everything down and come home. The kind of camp trips that I like are when you're going to be there for 4 days or 5 days or a week or even longer. And those don't happen much in my life anymore like they used to. But I love those times when you can go somewhere and you can really spend some time and settle down. And so when we go on a family camping trip, if we're going to be there for a few days, if you were to walk up to our camp as we're pulling in, my dad is a ham radio operator, so he's going to be over, you know, shooting wire up into trees so that he can set up an antenna for his radio, and we're setting up our trailers and bringing the ice chest out and getting the food out and hanging up things that need to be hung up and getting the firewood out and getting it. And what we are doing is we are settling in. And the settling in part isn't all that much fun when we're doing all of the work. But once you have everything out and you've got everything situated and you just begin to settle into the camp trip, that's when it really gets good. You just enjoy it. And so that's how it is in our faith in Christ sometimes, is we really just need to settle down. And we need to not be in that place in our life where every time something comes up and it's something that's a little bit of adversity, we're going to run out on our faith and we're going to run out on God. But we really need to just kind of settle in and just say, God, I'm here for the long haul. God, I'm walking with you for the rest of my life, Jesus. I'm walking with you. And I understand what my point is here, that there is a flow to our faith. One of the things I love doing while we're camping is I love to swim. I love to be in the water and I love to snorkel. So whenever we go to a place, we usually try to pick a place where there's good swimming. And one of my favorite places is on the North Umpqua River in Roseburg, Oregon. And we go over there and sometimes we like to float down the river. And as you're floating down the river, there's something that you learn pretty quickly, is that rivers have a flow. Some points in the river, you have to swim with all of your might because that river is not really moving too much. Then sometimes you'll come into a place where the water is moving quickly, and all you need to do is just kind of sit back and relax and let the water take you. Some places it's deep, and you don't have to really worry about what's coming up, and some places it gets shallow, and you have to watch out because there could be a rock coming out of nowhere, and you have to pay attention so that you don't, you know, knock your head on a rock. And when you understand that as you're floating down a river, it gives you an indication that rivers have a different kind of flow depending on where you're at in the river. And it's very similar in our Christian life, our Christian walk of faith with Jesus, is that our life, the life of faith, has a flow. You know, Jesus said that we would go through tremendous times, that if we were followers of Christ, that we would go through times where we would experience miracles, that we would experience signs and wonders, that we would experience miraculous provisions when we were struggling maybe with something we needed, that God would just provide it, that God would do, that when you pray, that there are times in our life when you pray, and it seems like no matter what you say, God is hearing your prayer and he's answering. And when you move into a time of worship, that it's so, that the intimacy with God is so near in your worship that it feels like you could literally reach out and touch him. And Jesus said there will be seasons, there will be moments, there will be times in our life when we will experience that kind of flow in our faith. On the other hand, Jesus also said that we would go through times of tribulation. And we understand in this life that not all the time is life are we living in the miracles and the provisions and the signs and wonders. Sometimes it seems like the miracle is nowhere to be found. Sometimes it seems like you're praying to God and it feels like your prayers are leaving your mouth and hitting a concrete ceiling and dropping to the floor. In those times when you're trying to worship God, that it feels like your worship is nowhere and that God is nowhere near you. And so and that's not true, but there are times when it feels like that's what's going on in our life. And so we have to understand the flow of our faith is that sometimes there are these amazing times of blessing, and sometimes there are times of dryness, and sometimes there are times of struggle, and sometimes there are times of tribulation. And Jesus said, you will experience both of those things if you are a follower of Christ. It's no accident that the Bible says that the Christian faith is a fight, that we are in a spiritual battle. And that we need to fight the good fight. And a lot of times I think as believers, we get caught up in the idea of fighting the good fight. You know, we sing songs about fighting the good fight, and we do all of that. And sometimes I think, though, we idealize the fight of faith, but we don't actually want to engage in the fight of faith. Sometimes we love the idea of being an overcomer, and we quote the scriptures about being an overcomer, and we sing the songs about being an overcomer, and we preach the messages about being an overcomer, but we don't really like to go through the seasons of life that cause us to have to overcome. And yet, if we're going to truly live an unshakable lifestyle and we're truly going to be able to surrender our lives to God, we have to understand that life ebbs and life flows. And sometimes we're going to go through times that are amazing, and sometimes we're going to go through real struggles. And that is a common thing in our faith. You know, Peter said, don't think it's uncommon when you go through fiery trials, because we all go through them. But sometimes we get the idea in our head that it should always be blessing, that it should always be the good stuff, and that we're not going to go through those dry times, those times of tribulation. And sometimes just simply, you know, living an unshakable life sometimes is just as simple as understanding that sometimes life is going to stink. You know, sometimes the most profound points that we can make in our Christian walk or profound ideas that we can come are the simplest of ideas. And one of those ideas is that sometimes life stinks. You know, I know I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to say that it's always going to be great and wonderful and blessing, but sometimes life stinks. When you're going through health battles, sometimes that stinks. If you face the loss of a loved one, it stinks. If you're going through an addiction and you can't break it, sometimes life just really stinks. And you know, in the church a lot of times, as I say, we don't want to admit that, but living an unshakable lifestyle sometimes is just as simple as saying, you know what, sometimes life is not going to go the way that I want it to go. But we also have to understand this. If I surrender to God, no matter if I'm in the blessing of the faith walk and the faith flow, or I'm in the tribulation of the faith walk and the faith flow, I need to understand that I need to continue to surrender to God, because that's how I stay unshaken no matter what's going on. We have to say to ourselves in those times when things aren't going our way or we're going through those seasons of shaking, we need to say to ourselves, I need to stay surrendered to God. I need to remind myself of what we talked about last week and ask myself the question, how much does God love me? And if he loves me like he says he loves me, and if God is who he says he is, then I can settle down into the flow of what I'm going through right now. And I can understand that just like the good seasons don't always last all the time, that these rough seasons are also going to pass. And if I trust God, he's going to be with me in the ebbs and the flows of my faith. When it's great, he's going to be with me. When it's a struggle, he's going to be with me. And I need to understand first and foremost that that flow is a normal part of our Christian faith. And so if I know that there will be times of good blessing and times of struggles, and know that God will bless me in the midst of the struggles, and know that the struggles are not going to last forever, but there will be a point when there will be another shift in the flow of my faith, and I'll come back into a season of blessing. If I stay focused on that, then it helps me to understand when the struggles come, I will be able to know and anticipate that's going to happen, and I will be ready to face those struggles with God by my side and with his word in my hand, and I'll be able to get through that. And so if I want to live an unshakable life, I need to understand that our faith has a flow. So how do I, when I'm in the midst of that flow, and sometimes it's not going so good, how do I continue in that place of surrender? That brings me to my second point, and that is that there is fuel for the flow. Point number one was that faith has a flow. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. My second point is that there is fuel for the flow. There is fuel for the flow. If you want to live an unshakable life, you have to be fueling yourself with the right fuel. My very first job, first real job that I had, was working in a gas station. And I came to work one day, and there was all sorts of chaos going on, and it was tense. And you could cut that tension with a knife. The owner of the gas station was there, the manager was there, one of the other employees was there. And so I come walking into this situation, and it was, you know, obviously quick. I obviously knew that there was something wrong. And what I found out was that a gentleman had pulled in to get fuel in his truck, and it was a truck that he had just bought. It was essentially a brand new truck, and it was a diesel truck. And he wanted his truck filled, and this other employee had put the unleaded gas and filled up his truck with unleaded fuel. And you know, diesel trucks are not meant to run on unleaded fuel. And so somewhere along while the truck was being filled up, the guy that owned the truck turned around and he looked, and he realized that his truck was nearly full of the wrong kind of fuel, and he refused to start it. And he was sitting right there in the middle of where people were trying to come in, and he would not move, and he was angry, and the manager came in, and they called the owner in, and they were trying to figure out what to do. Ultimately, they ended up, I think, sending this truck off to a shop, and they had to pump the tank out and redo everything and make sure that nothing had been damaged. And that happened because that truck was being filled with the wrong kind of fuel. And so it would not run with the wrong kind of fuel. And we have to understand that our lives will not truly run the way they're supposed to if we're not filling them up with the right kind of fuel. And so what do we fuel our lives with today? A lot of times it's the media that we're watching, social media. There's very few people. I only know a handful of people in my life that don't have a social media account of some kind, whether Facebook or Twitter, Instagram or Snapchat or whatever it is. And we're fueling ourselves with all of these things that are bombarding us. We're on the internet and we're looking at all these different websites, maybe news sites or information sites. And a lot of times that stuff is not really good, healthy things that we should be taking into our life. And so when we continually feed on those things, you'll notice our verse for today, it says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So what is it that you're feeding on? What is it that you're fueling yourself with? If you're fueling yourself with the media, if you're fueling yourself with social media all the time, if you're fueling yourself with the drama that's going on in your workplace or the drama that's going on in your house, if you're fueling yourself with the negative things that are going on in and around your life, eventually it's going to suck you dry and you will say, my life is being shaken and doesn't seem like God is here, and I'm just about ready to crash and burn. And a lot of times where we are in our life, sometimes the degree to which our lives are solidly founded and built on solid foundations is simply a matter of what we're building and what we're fueling our life with. And so when we're fueling our life with all these other things, it could be the music we're listening to, movies we're watching, people we're hanging out with. A lot of times when you're hanging out with the wrong kind of people, they don't add to your life and encourage you. They suck life out of you. And so you're giving out of whatever fuel that you have and you find yourself empty. And so what I want to say to you today is that in the flow of our lives, you have to continually fuel yourself with something that helps you to keep going, whether it's a good time or whether it's a bad time. And so what is it that you are fueling your life with? What is it that we should be fueling our life with? In John chapter 15, Jesus said some really, really very important words. He said this. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and he is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And so notice there that Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches and you can't bear any fruit without me. What he's really saying there is that the true fuel, the true life that you need is going to flow from me. And if you're not connected to me, then you're not going to be able to sustain your life. You know, as the theme of our camping and that I've been talking about today, one of the things that we do when we're getting ready to build a fire is we want to go out and find some fire starter. And what fire starter is that we kind of just go out and we'll walk out through the woods or whatever, and we'll find some old dead branches that had fallen off the trees. And we will be surrounded by green trees with leaves, and they're beautiful. But on the ground, there's these dead sticks that are good for nothing. And we'll gather those up. And the thing about those sticks is that when you put a flame to those sticks, they will immediately go up and they will light because they are dead and dry. And what Jesus is saying in this passage is if you are not connected to me, then you are going to end up dead and dry because you cannot sustain your life by yourself. We have to understand we cannot fuel our own lives. We have to have a fuel that comes from outside of us, and that's why we have so much trouble when we're fueling our lives with media or social media or movies or the drama at work or with our jobs or whatever it is. We're trying to fuel our lives, but ultimately those are going to leave us as dead, dry sticks because we're not connected to the true vine. But when we connect our lives to Jesus, then we begin to discover that there is life that flows from him into us, and that life not only flows into us, but that life flows out of us, and we begin to bear the fruit that we were created to bear in our lives. And so we have to have the right fuel, and the right fuel comes from Christ himself. And so when I see it kind of like this. If you could take a hose and plug it straight into your heart, And you're walking around and you're looking for a place where you can plug that hose in so that you can pump in the fuel. We wander around and we plug into people. And as I say, we plug into computers and internet and we plug into our jobs and we plug into our bank accounts. But ultimately, all those things leave us dry. And really what we need to do is we need to take that hose and we need to plug it into Christ and let his life flow into us. And so when we look at the example that Jesus said, what is that fuel? And really what I want to say to you today really is that the fuel is Christ. The fuel is the words that he spoke. It's his word. It's his presence. It's his promise that's in our life that begins to fuel us. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus told another parable about two builders. And there are some things about these two builders that are very similar. Both of them were trying to build a house. And really that house represents our lives. And so these two builders, they were really trying to build their lives. And it says that both of these builders heard the words of Jesus. And so they were both trying to build and they both were hearing the words of Jesus. But then they both experienced something. They experienced rain and they experienced wind and they experienced a shaking in their lives. They experienced a flood. And it says that one of those builders, when the rain and the flood and the wind and the shaking came, the house that he was building collapsed. But the other one who experienced the same rain, the same flood, the same wind, the same shaking, it says his house stood. And what was the one difference between the two of them? It was that the one that heard the words of Jesus did those words. And so, excuse me, when we plug in to Christ, we're really plugging into his word. And we say, what does his word have to say to me today? And whatever the word says to me, that is what I'm going to do in my life. And when the word says that we need to fellowship together, go to church together, when the word says we need to worship, when the word shows us how we need to live our life, you know, a lot of times now in the days that we live in now, we've taken the word of God and we've taken church and we've taken worship and we've made them religious rituals. And we've made them political talking points. And they become something that they were, these, you know, the church and the word of God and all these things become something that they were never meant to become. The word of God, our worship, our going to church, our prayer, all of our faith activities were not designed to be religious rituals to make us feel good. They weren't designed to be political points that we could try to win people to our argument. What those things were given to us for were gifts that they could be in our life and they could fuel our faith walk with God so that we could burn for him and we could live for him. And when we're experiencing the flow of the good and the bad that happens in our life, we also have the fuel that we need to get through those things, that we're still standing on the other side of that shaking in our life. And so we have to understand we need the right kind of fuel. And so as I'm getting ready to wrap up today, I want to ask you, what is it that's fueling your life? Because I promise you this, there is a flow to your faith. And sometimes it's going to be good and sometimes it's not going to be bad. And you need the fuel that's going to get you through both of those seasons in your life. And so what is it that you are using to fuel your life? And if it's not Christ, if it's not his word, if it's not worship, if it's not the fellowship of the church, then ultimately you're going to fall off and you're going to be a dead, dry stick. But if you will plug into Christ, plug into his word, plug into his people, then you will begin to experience life and encouragement and challenge flowing into you, and you'll not be empty, you'll not be burnt out, but you will be burning strong for Christ no matter what's going on in your life. So if you want to live an unshakable life, understand, number one, there is a flow to your faith. It's not always going to be perfect. Sometimes it's going to be a real struggle. And if you know that and you know that God is with you, you'll be able to stand unshakable. And the second thing is there is a fuel for your flow. And are you plugging into Christ? What is it that's fueling your life? And if you're fueling your life with the wrong things today, I want to encourage you right now just to go to God and say, God, I repent. Maybe I've been fueling my life with my family or my job or social media or movies or whatever it is, just to try to keep myself going. But I repent of that today, and I turn to you, and I just want to, so to speak, I want to plug into you today, and I want you to become my fuel. I want your words to become my fuel so that I can make it through anything that comes my way in this life, whether good or bad. And I will come out the other side victorious and overcomer. I will win this battle that I am called to fight, and I will be living an unshakable life. Hey, I want to thank you again for joining me today. As I say every week, I will continue to say I appreciate that you're watching, that you're listening. If you are listening, watching on Facebook or YouTube, or you're listening on the podcast, I want to encourage you to drop a comment in the box down below. Let me know that you are here. Let me know what you think. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. Hit the click the like button, the subscribe button, the share button. Help us get the word out that there is an unshakable life that we can live in Christ and in His Word, and we can help create a revolution in this world. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your help. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for everyone that's listening or watching today. I ask God that you would help them to come to the understanding that there is a flow to their faith, and that even in the good times or the bad times, you're with them all the time. And if they will stay plugged into you and they will keep their lives fueled by your fire inside of them, that they're going to be totally victorious and totally unshaken. So I pray you would help them with that today. I thank you for doing that, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining me, and we'll see you next week at The Refuge.